الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Tuesday the 3rd of July 2001 we were looking at Surah Yasin and last week we finished the first theme of the surah, the first part of the surah, the first 12 verses of our Holy Prophet. Now, if you look at the verses that come thereafter, verses 13 to verse 30, these are 17 verses that we are going to talk about tonight, which is the second theme, the second part of the overall theme of Surah Yasin. If you look at the link that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to convey not only to the Holy Prophet but also to the people around him, that look, neither is the Prophet's task easy nor can you get away with what you do. People who are opposing the Holy Prophet, questioning him, arguing with him, refusing to believe in him, not taking him seriously, all these things. The Holy Prophet was told by Allah, and this is the second phase, where Allah is now bringing examples of what has happened in the past. That this is what has happened in the past. And the beauty of this is that these 17 verses are narratical of what happened sometime in history. But every verse gives us a point, right? And this is what we will study today, inshallah. Allah tells the Holy Prophet, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Right? Give them the example of the people of the village when messengers came to it. Now messengers went to people of a village, right? As we progress, we will talk about the story itself. Where is this village that he was talking about? Who are the messengers and so on, right? But let's look at four or five verses together, because each verse expounds on the previous verse. Now, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Give them the example of the people of the village when messengers went to it. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. We sent them two and they were belied by them. The people refused to believe in them. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. We strengthened their message by sending a third messenger, Allah is saying. فَعَزَّزْنَا, عَزَّزْنَا is to strengthen. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ, we sent a third messenger. فَقَالُوا, now these three messengers are telling the people, إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ, we are messengers to you, we have been sent to you. قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. Their response was that you are ordinary human beings like us. Allah has not revealed anything to you. You are lying. قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. They said, our Lord knows that we have been sent to you. قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ, that means we are tired of you. You are a problem to us now. Right? إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ, you are causing us problems now. لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا, yeah, the people told the messengers. This is how the conversation is going. The people are telling the messengers that now you are causing us some problems. لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُ, if you don't stop it, لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ, we will stone you. وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, and very difficult chastisement or very painful punishment is going to come to you from us. قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ, the problems are yours. The messengers are now saying that these problems are your own self-inflicted. أَإِنْ ذُكِّرْتُمْ, despite you being told what is right, what is wrong. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ, you are an extravagant people. Now these are the literal translations as we see, right? Now, these six verses, let's stop here and understand the story so that we can then develop a context and apply these verses. We are talking of a village that is called, I don't know what the English name would be, but Antioch. Is this what it's called? It is called in Arabic and Urdu and Farsi, it's called Antakya, A-N-T-A-K-I-Y-A. Now, I don't know if there is a name, a city by that name today, but it happens to be on the border of Syria and Turkey. And up to the Second World War, it used to be part of Syria, because it is 100 kilometers from Aleppo, right? Then after the Second World War, when French colonials, you know, they wanted to divide the territory, because this was a predominantly Christian territory, they did not allow it to be part of Syria. And so they have turned that into Turkish territory. Antakya, that's the Arabic name. Unfortunately, I didn't have enough time to look for the English name, but the Quran, the English translation that you have in front of you, calls it Antioch. In any case, this city came into existence, according to history, some 300 years before Prophet Isa. So you're looking at nearly 1,000 years ago, right? 1,000 years before the Holy Prophet, right? This city came into existence 300 years before Prophet Isa, and the messengers that came to this city were messengers, according to some of us Sirin, sent by Prophet Isa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, "Inna arsalna," we sent. That means Allah has sent. But through Prophet Isa, because Prophet Isa was in Palestine and he was sending his disciples to go around to spread his word, to spread the word of Allah. Now, as these messengers, in fact, the Mufassirin have named them as Shamaun and Yohanna. Shamaun and Yohanna, I mean, the English equivalent would be Simon and Johanna.
John
is Yahya.
John and Johanna.
Well, there are different names. I must admit, Majma' al-Bayan has quoted different names. Tafsir al-Namuna has quoted different names, slightly varying. Majma' al-Bayan says Shamaun was the third person to go there, right? The one who strengthened the message, because two had gone first, the third person went. Ayatullah Nasr Makarim Shirazi in Tafsir al-Namuna says Shamaun and Yohanna were the first to go, and it was Yuls who went to strengthen the message. In any case, these were from the disciples of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. The two of them went. Now, here history is very vague and fuzzy. You find different mufassirin have quoted from different sources giving different accounts to what happened. Some say that when these two messengers, as they approached the city, they came across an old man. This old man was a shepherd. They went and greeted him, and he greeted them and asked them, the old man is asking them, "Who are you and where are you from?" They gave the answers and they said, "What do you want?" He said, "What do you want in this city?" They said, "We have brought a message from Allah to guide you all." So this old man, who happened to be in the suburbs of the city, said, "Do you have evidence?" And they said, "Yes." They said, "We have been endowed with the power to revive the dead and heal the sick." So this old man says, "My son has been sick, lying in bed for ages now. Could you come and do something?" And they went and they healed, they cured the son. And he immediately accepted the message of Prophet Isa alayhi salam and accepted Islam or the religion at that time. Then these two went to the city, proceeded towards the city, and in the city they were faced with a tremendous opposition. Because as they brought their message, you must remember one thing, and this is evident in the verse that says that the people of the town or the village, mind you, village, qarya is literally village, but this is referring to a huge thriving town. It is not just a small village where a handful of people were there, no. It was the capital of a king, because they talk of a king. It was a thriving market and people and all that. right? So these two people, when they proclaimed or brought forward the message they had come with, see how the people responded. The people said, قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَانُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That means the people were saying that you are ordinary human beings like us, and Ar-Rahman, giving that sifat of Ar-Rahman, has not revealed anything to you, has not sent you as messages. That means they were believing in a God, right? They were believing in overall that the power that is giving them what they have in bounties and favors and whatever, you know, they believe in is a merciful God. So they described him as merciful, Ar-Rahman. وَمَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَانُ. So they were basically a religious people, not necessarily following the right religion. A people who understood that there is seeking of favors and that we are being favored by some power. But they could not comprehend that this person or this power that is favoring us could send ordinary human beings. To them, they wanted some supernatural powers to come and guide them and prove to them. Despite, as in stories, you know, I mean, you read the various accounts of how these two messengers went and what they did. If you read the various accounts, you find that these two messengers went at length into proving that they are messengers. They revived the dead, they cured the sick, and so on. But despite all clear, manifest proofs, right, they continued to remain firm and say, no, we do not believe that if you as an ordinary human being can receive revelation from God, then why not we as ordinary human beings receive the same thing? That was their basic argument, the first argument. Right? And then they said, you know, إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ, we are getting tired of you because of the chaos that it was creating within a society that was until then quite harmonious, lived together, worshipped together, and now suddenly these two people have come to tell them that you are on the wrong path and that this is the right path. You have a few who want to believe, you have a majority who don't want the disruption, right? And so they said, we are getting tired of you. Right, all these problems, the social problems, you know, the confusion that it was creating, these social problems, all these problems are brought about by you. Ji.
It says in the tafsir that the king himself actually changed his religion.
This is from Majma' al-Bayan, and we'll come to that because these different accounts, Majma' al-Bayan does mention that the king, and I'll give you evidence as to why Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi disproves that. Right. So, the various accounts as to what happened. This is one, that these two came, they met this person out there in the suburbs, he became a Muslim, he immediately accepted. Then they went to the city, and in the city they were faced with opposition. That is the time when this person comes, that is the verses that go on. وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين. When a person came running from أقصى المدينة, أقصى المدينة is a suburb of the city, that means far from the town center where they were, and this man came running and said, follow these people who have come to guide you. اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون.
Why would Allah call it a qariya in one instance and Medina in the other?
This is exactly where I said first. Qariya is not only referred to a village. Qariya is a dwelling, sort of, right? Now, Ashab al-Qariya, the most logical explanation we could see is that the Qariya is a region, is a dwelling, sort of. For example, if we are in Middlesex, it's a county, yeah? But if we talk of Harrow, right? Harrow would be called Qariya, right? Now that is where all these things transpire. the people of the of that village are the ones who warned the messengers and said, "We will kill you." But it is part of a larger city, and that is where min aqsal madinati, you know, from far away, this man comes running and says that follow those, right? So this is one account. Before we go deeper into the what happened next, the other account that Safraz was saying, and it's probably there in the English version, that the king accepted Islam. This other account is that these two messengers came, and this is from Majma' al-Bayan, Majma' al-Bayan lit-Tadasi. When these two messengers came, they were immediately put in prison. فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا, right? So they were put in prison. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. And now Majma' al-Bayan, Tabarsi says that it was Shamun who was the third one. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when he heard that these two have been imprisoned, he sent this third one, Shamun, and says, "Now you go and help them, but use some kind of diplomacy to convey the message." So what Shamun does, that he gets to Antakya and he befriends the king without revealing that he is a believer or disciple of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So he befriends the king, and after a while, gaining his trust, he tells the king, that look, I have heard from the city that there are such two people who you have imprisoned. So the king says, yes, you know, they came with a new message from Allah and all, from God and all that. They claim to be prophets. So Shamun tells the king, look, what do we stand to lose? Why don't you call them? Let us listen to them. Let us hear them out. So the king agrees. And these two messengers are called out. And Shamun pretends to be on the side of the king by asking these questions, that who are you? What have you brought? What is the message? And then he comes down to evidence. What proof do you have? What kind of miracle can you do? And they say they can perform miracles, like, you know, they can revive dead or cure the sick and so on. Again, there is slight variations where the king says that there is a person who has died for the past 5 days. Now, you know, bring him back to life. Another narration says that the king says, "Can you bring back to life my own son who died a long time ago?" And so on. And they do it. And when they do it, the king then accepts Islam and says, "I believe in the message you have brought." And he becomes a Muslim. Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shahizi, although this is from, you know, taken from Riwayat, you know, in history. It's not from anywhere, yeah? It's from Riwayat. It's there in Nur al-Thaqalain as well, Tafsir of Nur al-Thaqalain. But Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shirazi argues the point that if a king becomes, or if the king becomes a Muslim, then most likely the subjects would follow. And if the subjects were to follow, or forget the subjects, the king alone would have the power enough not to allow such threats being made to the messengers. Plus you will see as you come across that this man who ran from far away, from the suburbs of the city, when he came, he was killed. We will see in the story as we go on. So if these events did take place, as the Quran confirms that they did take place, whereas these two were threatened with punishment, the punishment, whether it came or not, is not there in the Quran. But the threat of punishment is there in the Quran, number one. Number two, the death of this man who came running from far, right, is there in the Quran. So if the king had become a Muslim, he could have stopped this. He would not have allowed this to happen. And based on that, Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shirazi does not accept this story. The king also, because when you have the king, which is the highest office in the state, becoming Muslim, accepting the message, then it is all, you know, a different scenario altogether, where the predominant situation would be where people are accepting the message. Whereas the general, if you read the context, I mean, if you read the verses, you find that these two messengers were either killed or driven away, threatened with punishment. This one man who came and said, "Follow these guides, follow these messengers," was killed, and so on. So this kind of punishment, this kind of treatment would not have been given to them if the king had become a Muslim. So it is open to interpretation, but there are indicators that indicate that the king did not really become a Muslim. Now, so far so good. وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين. This man came from far.
Sorry. I just want to ask you, is it what is this word?
So translate it to English.
Is it like omen? Bad omen you?
Ah, you see, omen is barabar shi. Tatayyab. You see, the verb itself, inna tatayyarna bikum. Right?
Qalu tatayyarukum ma'akum.
So, inna tatayyarna bikum, can you translate here?
We augur ill of you. Like
we hold you responsible for anything bad happening to us.
Is this tayyar from some sort of voodoo like thing? Or omen?
It's not from the tayyar of flying, huh?
Yeah. That's what it says here.
That?
Tayyar means bird, and they're, okay, like the Romans, the Arabs also derived omens from birds. For Egyptians, imagining their ill luck was due to Moses, and Tammuz thinking that the ill luck being due to the preaching of Saleh. So this is the omens.
This is not a normal verb, is it? Tayyar
Nabi. It's not a normal verb, like, but it is.
It comes from tayyar.
It tayyar. Toin yere is the original root.
Yeah, it says it comes from birds, because we use that.
See, birds is fire. Fire is bird, right? But here it doesn't mean bird at all, unless there is the cultural link, as you say, that the birds were considered as omens.
Yeah, it means omen, but they're saying that comes from, because they used to think birds as omens.
Possibly. I don't know anything about it. But tatayyarna bikum means Arabic ma shu'um kechi. Shu'um means ill omens, you know, bad things. Inna tatayyarna bikum, that means we are sort of holding you responsible for everything bad that is happening to us. Qalu ta'irukum ma'akum, that means it is your own doing, self-inflicted. Whatever bad may happen to you or is happening to you is because of your own obstinacy. Ayn dhukirtum, despite being reminded. Right? That was their response. Right? Now, we go on to verse 20. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And this one man comes from afar, from outside, from the suburbs or boundaries of the city, saying, يَا قَوْمِ, O my people, اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ, follow the messengers. اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Follow those who do not ask for any reward, and they are the guided ones. I am going a bit fast because I am just finishing the story first, yeah? We are still finishing the story first, and then we will go on to the points where it comes to tabligh, where it comes to shahadat, where it comes to so many other things, right? We just look at how the story has been narrated, and then we will pick up the points. There will be at least 8 to 10 different concepts that are narrated through this story, right? Look at what this man is saying. Now, who is this man, first of all? I don't know if you've read the story in English, you may have known the name. The name of this person was Habib al-Najjar. Habib al-Najjar is the normally referred to as Sahib Yasin or Mu'min Yasin, right? That means it is the person about which such a strong reference has been made in Surah Yasin. And this person is not an ordinary personality. Huh? I give you two hadiths. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Sabbaqul umam talat. Sabbaq means those who were first in accepting a message. Sabbaqul umam, that means those who were first to accept a message. Ummah, plural, is umam. Sabbaqul umam talata. There are three people who are recorded as being the first ones to accept. And lam yakfuru billahi tarfat aynin, they did not ever disbelieve in the presence, in the existence of Allah. They were always believers in Allah, right? Ali ibn Abi Talib, Imam Ali al-Islam, wa sahib Yasin, that is this person who has been mentioned in Yasin, wa mu'minu ali Fir'aun, Now, Mu'min of Ali Fir'aun, I will explain you who it is in the second hadith, because in the second hadith, the Prophet names them. فَهُمُ الصِّدِّيقُونَ These are the true Siddiqoons. Right? وَعَلِيٌ أَفْضَلُهُمْ And Imam Ali al-Islam is the best of the three. In another hadith, which is quoted from Tafsir al-Mizan, الصِّدِّيقُونَ ثَلَاثَ That is Siddiqoon, those who have accepted the message as true, Sadiq. Siddiquna, it has a deeper meaning. Siddiq means they are practicing the message from the beginning of their lives to the end of their lives. They have never allowed even a drop of shirk to come into their life. Siddiq is not an ordinary title. Aapne to bija musalman hoche, jene khape deris. But Siddiq is not an ordinary title. Siddiquna thalatha, حبيب النجار مؤمن آل ياسين الذي قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين حبيب النجار the believer who is mentioned in Surah Yasin who said يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين O people follow the messengers وحزقيل حزقيل مؤمن آل فرعون الذي قال القرآن ما شيء who said مؤمن آل فرعون is the one who told his people when they wanted to kill Prophet Musa عليه السلام he is the one who said أتقتلون رجلا أن يقول ربي الله do you want to kill someone who is saying my Lord is Allah وعلي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام وهو أفضلهم And Ali ibn Abi Talib, he is the first one, he is the Siddiq, he is the first one to accept the message, he has not had shirk in his life. This Habib al-Najjar that we are talking of, we are talking of a sublime personality, he is not an ordinary person who just happened to be there and says, oh, follow them, they are right. No, he is somebody who was so pure and chaste, right? He has been mentioned by the Holy Prophet. Now, this Habib al-Najjar came running from wherever he was living in the suburbs of the city. He came and his argument, we'll look at his argument in conceptually as to what he was saying and why he was saying in the manner he was saying. But what he did was he drew the attention of his people and said, follow these messengers, follow those who do not ask anything from you in return. And they are the guided ones. وَهُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ Right? وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ And why should I not worship He who has created me, who has given me the fitrat. فَطَرَنِي is from the word fitrat. Who has given me the fitrat. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ And we are all going back to Him. أَأَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً Should I take apart from Him, other than Him, other lords, other gods, إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغني عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون When that Rahman, the God, the one God that I believe in, if he wants anything to befall me, any harm to befall me, then these gods are not going to help me in any way. They will not be able to intercede in any way. إني إذا لفي ضلال مبين If I do that, then surely I am in the clear disbelief. I am clearly misguided. Inni amantu bi rabbikum fasma'un. I believe in your Lord, so listen to me. Now this is where the story is not recorded as to what happened. Because when he comes, and in such strong words, he is now urging his people to believe in the message of what these messengers have brought. As he is urging them, in such strong words, we will look at the words just now. These people were so angry at him that they killed him. Now, according to some narrations, they actually carried out the threat of stoning that they had promised the messengers. And they stoned him. They stoned Habib al-Najjar to death. According to other stories, they just pushed him on the ground and they stamped on him, stamping him to death. But in any case, they killed him. And when they killed him, then Allah revives the story again. He brings the story again. قِيلَ دَخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ Right? He was told, enter paradise. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ He said, how I wish my people knew what Allah has forgiven me and the bounties He has given me. Now, this is where the story of Habib al-Najjar ends. And the next two verses are about the story of the people themselves. That these people are those who had made a habit of mocking any messengers who came to them. Right? They were assuming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the power that is giving them so much cannot just send an ordinary human being. They were of the opinion that an army should come down and that, you know, some supernatural being should come down and so on. And here Allah says that I have never, and that is His style of doing things, that He has never sent any army from the skies to do any of His tasks. When Allah wants something, it is kun fayakun. So people are misguided by even thinking that they will come, you know, an army of God or angels to carry out God's work. No, they are misguided. Here He says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِهِ مِن جُنْدٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ. We are never going to do that. إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً. One, صَيْحَة. Roar?
Terrible cry,
yeah. Sayha is loud noise. Are we going to cheese?
Trumpet, isn't it? That's going to happen.
وَنُخِرَ فِي الصُّورِ. That is نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ.
It's not the same.
So it's the same, Sayha. Sayha means one loud noise, right? It takes only that one loud noise. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. All of them. Useless now. Dead.
Bang.
One bang. You can call it bang. Now, Jee, questions in the story before I...
You said that Habib al-Najjar, you gave him a name. Sabukullah, what did you give?
Sahib Yasin.
No, before that.
Mu'min Ali Yasin.
No, you said there were three people and they were given a name.
Huh? Ah. Siddiqun. Sabaq al-Umam, yes. Sabaq al-Umam means...
That word Sabaq means what?
First, foremost.
Is that the same as in Surah Waqia? As-Sabiqun,
as-Sabiqun. Yes, same. Yes.
And when...
Sabaqa is the root. Sabaqa means those who come first.
Well, there's not just these three, there's many others, right?
Of course. Sabaq al-Umam means those who are the first to believe. You see, they are in the vanguard, in the forefront.
Do these two verses mean 28 and 29
ke abadu
thayyu, I didn't send down any angels, I just sent down a cry
and they all died.
That's what it means.
Yes.
What you said before was ke for guidance we didn't send anybody down.
Did I say this for guidance?
I got the feeling you were saying
no. I said the people were you got the feeling because I said okay, the people in the beginning were thinking okay, ordinary human beings cannot come as messengers, right? These were the same people who probably, according to this verse, thought okay, if they have to be obliterated or removed totally, there has to come an army to fight them. That was their thinking. Anything that comes from God has to be supernatural.
Min ba'dihi means min ba'di Habib.
Min ba'di Habib, after qatl of Habib.
Okay.
After Habib was killed, after that, they were not going. Allah says, I'm not going to send an army to punish these people. Because this is not my style. I have never sent armies. Right? وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ. إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا. Ji? That was.
And then he sent all those birds to kill these people. No, the elephants.
That was birds, that was not an army.
Well, it was something, wasn't it?
Soldiers nata. Ah, Azad bhai, he says, ke jange badr ma, Qurani ayat ma hai chhe, ke hame 30,000 malaika ne. But there is a distinct difference. I think we can understand that. Ke the difference is, ke it was the Prophet leading a war for which that army had been sent to support. It was not carrying out God's work. What the people of these people of Antakya were believing was that God cannot get anything done, or God should only be able to get things done by sending in an army. right? Whereas Allah is trying to prove here, okay, I don't need to send an army. One cry is enough for me to kill you all. Right? Jare oluje je jange badrat, the Prophet and the Muslims were fighting, and Allah was proving another point there, that if you take up arms to fight in my way, I will strengthen you. I will give you the strength. So there is that difference there.
Does Tafsir say what this cry actually is?
No. Well, there have been attempts to explain what possibly could be the cry. Right? One said it could be lightning and thunder. One said it could be earthquake and volcanic eruption. Right? So there have been possible explanations. The most difficult thing to explain is that there was no physical damage. There was no destruction of properties or buildings. Right? There was like people had just been put to sleep, like as if a poisonous gas has passed there and everybody just fell down asleep. But that was owing to a loud cry. The people listening to the cry and falling dead. So there was no damage to the buildings or physical damage to the properties there. Ji. According to that riwayat, that account, which says that the two of them first met a shepherd out there, is the same Habib al-Najjar.
So why were all these
very
extended them to be met in there? In other words, before that he was expecting somebody else to be met.
Exactly, he was sort of, like the Siddiqun, he was already a pious person, and when they told him that they were messengers, he asked them the right question by asking them, what is your hujjat? What is your evidence? And they produced their evidence and he immediately accepted. So it does gel in with the context, overall context of the story. Sorry? Yeah. Is there in Ahl al-Sunnah book as well? Hizqil, by the way, Hizqil Mu'min Ali Fir'aun. Is he not Ezekiel? No.
His skill is Ezekiel, but that's a prophet.
Kaike, in Damascus there is a small tomb of Nabi Hizqil. They call him Nabi Hizqil.
Judah, Ezekiel Judah.
This Hizqil, Mumin Ali Firon, he's the same guy who built the casket, right? That Musa was washed the river in. He was the carpenter.
He was the one who had warned Prophet Musa that Fir'aun is coming to kill you.
Was he the same person who built that? I don't know.
I don't know about that connection.
Yeah.
There is a hadith about that as well. There are three, in Shura, there are three references to this man. Ek ki Nabi.
Musa le warned kero kyal kamaro hai.
Ito Quran. Miju ki mu wala ni Fir'aun ni chando kero. Ena pehla hi che ke
Quran? I thought you were saying three references to Surah Shura.
Three references in that story to him. Oh, two okay. Are in the Quran, one is there.
Okay.
But then he can't be a prophet, because when Musa's mother came to build the thing, he tried to go and warn Quran, but then he couldn't speak. Then he came back and he tried again and he couldn't speak. But Prophet wouldn't
either
figure that out.
I think we did that, but is that his speech?
Well, that's, I thought it was, that's what I'm asking.
Achha. Right. Now, we'll go back to the same verses again. This is in overall the story of what happened. The use of examples in the Holy Quran, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرِيَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses examples in many places. Some examples are anecdotical, like this one, that it truly happened, and use that to show your people that this is not what they should be doing, repeating what has already happened. Some others are examples of people, of life, and so on. And the whole study of how Allah has used the art of giving examples is a very in-depth study, detailed study, to say what different kind of examples Allah has used. And Allah says in the Holy Quran that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِ أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا بَعُوضَةً مَا. That means that Allah is not embarrassed to give the example of even as small as a mosquito. So that shows that Allah has used this art of giving examples to bring closer to the minds of the people a message He wants to convey. I don't know if you remember, Zitla, those of you who are from Mombasa might remember this. If I'm not mistaken, 73 or 2, I have general year here, or home. I think it was 73 the first time. 72? Yeah, Lucknow here.
Toronto, Mumbai,
most important, you know, here, 1972. My age at that time was probably 9 or 10 years old, right? Taher generally, marhum, may Allah have mercy on his soul, he recited madlises. I have never heard anything like that before nor after that. He gave examples that are ingrained in all these 10 ashrar janabiya, all 10 madlises, only using examples. A simple example I give you today, that what kind of madlises he recited, to show you how effective the use of examples can be to convey a message. He said that as I am talking here in this Imambara, that was, you know, Imambara, Bustani Imambara and Mike. He said, after I finish my madlis, he said, no, if I started this way, that as I am talking, you know, because people are sitting far and away, you have this microphone here, loudspeaker, and it takes sound to different corners of the building, and everybody can listen to me exactly what I have said. The loudspeaker will never change words. Will it change words? It can't change words. So what it will do, it will convey to people sitting in every corner of this hall exactly what I have said. Less effort on me. I speak slowly. Everybody can hear. He says, after that, once the madlis is finished, two of you go out and start arguing. He said, no, Maulana recited this. The other one said, no, Maulana did not recite that. Maulana recited this. You start arguing. You come to me, I said, look, simple solution. So many tape recorders here recording my madlises. Bring one forward, rewind, and listen to it. Will the tape recorder make mistakes? No. So anytime you are in doubt, you want confirmation or proof of what I have said, just pick up a tape recorder, listen to what I have said. Whether it is now, whether it is 10 years later, you will still have the tape recorder. You will still have the cassette. He says, similarly, when Allah revealed the message, He sent it through messengers who will not distort the message. They acted like the loudspeakers so that message was conveyed to everybody. And those who were not there, or those who raised questions after the prophets had died, the imams were there to guide them, like tape recorders are there to guide them. That message to me was so clear. I was a 9-year-old kid. It made so much sense. He says, and he gave the example of أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ عَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا فَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْمَدِينَةَ فَلْيَدْخُلْهَا مِنْ بَابِهَا. Right? This is the famous hadith of the Prophet, that I am the city of knowledge and Ali al-Islam is its gate. So whoever wants the gate, wants the city, please enter from the gate. And he says it's like a compass. You have two points in a compass. Put one on the center and draw the circle. Right? You want to get to the center of the circle. There is no way you will be able to get to the center of the circle without going through the... You know, these are the kind of examples that he would give to make the message. And these messages were not something new. It was not something that we ever questioned. Would the Prophet distort? No. But to give an example is to bring to our minds, ordinary human beings, something within accessibility or within reach of understanding, you know, comprehension. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used so many examples. And I say here, this is just an aside, because examples, inshallah, there has been in-depth study. What are the examples that Allah has used in the Quran? And that, inshallah, we'll study one day, not today, as to, you know, giving examples of the example he has used. You know, what kind of messages are conveyed by the examples. Here, Allah tells him, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرِيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Now, إِرْسَالُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ is Allah's, I can't say it is duty, but it is way of working, that He, Allah, would convey to people. And Bani Israel were the chosen people, but these people were not Bani Israel. According to the narrations, it was Prophet Isa alayhi salam who sent messengers to this part of the world, northern Syria. Right? When these messengers came, look at the style. Two messengers. And there was a problem, a third one was sent to strengthen. That means that these two were not forsaken. Okay, the problems, forget it, come back. Right? The third one was sent. Only when they had the audacity to kill these messengers, as it is recorded in some narrations, okay, they did kill these three messengers, right? Then did Prophet Isa alayhi salam put a cross, but don't forget, okay, when this city, at that time, right, the Prophet Isa sent these messengers, this city did not accept the message of Prophet Isa at that time. But later on, it became not only a Christian city, it became a strong Christian, an ancient and rich Christian city. Right? It became a very stronghold of Christians. Okay, aje, it is counted, I mean today, from what a few encyclopedia on the history of towns in the Quran mentions, that this particular town, Antakya, is now considered at par with what Muslims consider the sanctity of Medina is. So as much as Muslims consider the sanctity of Medina, that is the way the Christians consider the sanctity of the city. Probably because these disciples are buried there, or these disciples were killed there, or for whatever reason, but it emerged as a strong religious city. Not immediate results, huh? Immediately the Marinek. But then it went on to develop. Now, when these messengers were faced with opposition, the kind of opposition, the accusations that came to them was that you are not messengers. How can God send down ordinary human beings like us? If you can receive the message, why not we? وَمَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. You are just ordinary human beings like us. This was their argument. What was their answer?
Allah knows.
قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. You see, there is very deep sort of meaning in these words. The messengers were not interested in what people believed in, or what people were accusing them. Tame khabar chhe, aje today, if I was thinking of how to answer this question, you know what I would be thinking about? The first thing I would be thinking about was trying to prove that God can send ordinary human beings as messengers. There is enough evidence to prove that God had sent before this time, that God can send ordinary human beings as messengers. There was enough evidence that even before that time, God had sent messengers, ordinary human beings as messengers. But the messengers were not drawn into a trap to thinking like that. When these people said, okay, you cannot be messengers because you are ordinary human beings, their response was that, look, our Lord knows we are messengers. And that is what is more important to us. Tame mano na mano is not our interest. you take us as messengers or not is not our interest. Look at the message. We have brought you a message to save you. We are messengers from God. You are saying we cannot be messengers. Fine, we cannot be messengers. Our Lord knows we are messengers. At least listen to what we have to say. That was the style. This particular verses of Surah Yasin explains the verses of the etiquettes of tabligh of amr bil ma'roof and nahy anil munkar. Okay, when you want to convey to people what is right, what is wrong, when you want to perform these acts of tabligh and iblagh or risala, what should be taken into account? This is one very important point. Whatever I do, I am doing it for Allah. My Lord knows, irrespective of whether you accept that or not. قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. What we have to do is to only convey to you. Balagh is to convey to you, but balaghul mubin, very clearly, so that there are no questions asked, no doubts lingering in your minds. And that is why this mubin here, balaghul mubin, it is the mubin that shows that these two messengers had come with the powers to perform miracles in front of these people. That these are our evidences. These are our proofs that we are messengers from Allah to you. And that was balaghul mubin. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغْنَةِ وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. The messengers are entrusted with the task, with the duty to not only convey, but convey clearly. Balaghul mubin. Now when they said that, we hold you as omens, or you are, we hold you responsible for anything ill befalling us. لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا, if you don't stop it, لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ, we will stone you. You know what is rajim? Like literally in Arabic, rajim is stoning. Right now, stoning in the rajm bil hijara. We have a capital punishment in the penal code of Islam. Kijare kone punish kato, up to the head, you bury him in the ground up to the neck and then stone him to death, right? That's the kind of punishment that is meted out to certain perpetrators. Here they are threatening to do the same thing. قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. This ill omen that you're talking of, or this bad things that will be falling you, that you're talking about, is by yourself. Right? And here, some Mufassirin say that self-inflicted afflictions is because of their obstinacy, and that they were not ready to believe in what the message had been brought by the messengers. And all afflictions that would befall them, right, would befall them because of their obstinacy, we're not ready to believe in you. So that ta'irukum ma'akum a'in dhukirtum, despite you being told what is right, because you are adamant on what you want to believe, you don't want to believe the truth, then whatever happens is in your own hands. Bal antum qawmun musrifun. Now, when this person, Habib al-Najjar, comes, Habib al-Najjar comes, first of all, he comes. The word used in this verse is وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ. One, these two messengers had come to قوم أصحاب القرية. Now here Allah is mentioning one man. That one man came forward, and he, against all his people, is telling them that follow the messengers. And then he sets down the criteria, he lists down the criteria as to why follow these guides, why follow these messengers. One person is doing it. That person is not worried, okay, these people will believe me or not. This person is not worried, okay, these people will kill me or what. Ek manas. stood there firm in support of the message of Allah, in support of messengers. Probably, and according to Mufassirin, probably knowing that by doing what he is doing, he is not only going to get himself killed, but he knows he cannot save the two messengers who will be killed, or the three messengers who will be killed. Right? So he also knew, whether I speak or not, they're going to kill the three. One person to stand against a mass of people, when he knows he is not going to make a change, when he knows he is not going to be able to save the lives of the messengers, despite that, that one person stands for the truth and lists down the criteria that why we as a community should be listening to these people, not rejecting them, not treating them the way we are treating. Imam Ali al-Islam in Najd Balagha Mahadith, لا تستوحش الطريق لقلة سالكي. La tastawhish al-tariqa. You know, the road, don't think it is a wild road, or don't think it is a wrong road. La tastawhish al-tariqa liqillati salikih. Because there are few people on that road. Abre mubasa madene, galli hai, wo andar ho ine, koi na ho, thai ki we don't want to go in there. Right? Kai ki aras to barabar ne ho, why is wo ocha manas. Whereas Imam ni hadith say, la tastawhish al-tariqa liqillati saliki. Just because there are a few people on a certain path, don't accuse or don't think the path is the wrong path. Study the path itself, then decide. Don't base the decision on how many people are following that path. This Habib al-Najjar did not worry ki abetran messengers, three messengers are there and the whole town is ready to kill them, to lynch them. He did not worry about that. All he wanted to do was to establish what is right, what is wrong. And this is how he went on to establish it. Number one, اتبعوا المرسلين. Follow those who have been sent as messengers. Why? اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. These are two criteria established now. One, follow those who never ask for anything in return from them. And this is one of the first signs of a true messenger, that they will not ask for anything in return. You see Surah Shu'ara, you know, you have these so many verses where all the messengers one after the other, all the prophets one after the other are saying, okay, we do not want, we have not come to ask for any reward. Our reward is with Allah only. So the first, اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا. So those who are not asking for anything in return from you. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And they are guided ones. That means those who make a claim of a message have to be following the message first. Those people who claim they believe in Allah and do this and this is right and that is wrong should be practicing what they do. Should be the true guided ones, should be the perfect ones themselves. But that is why Allah says, Surah Saf, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun, kabra maqtan 'inda Allahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. Why are you saying that which you do not practice? Kabra maqtan 'inda Allahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. Is something indeed very grave in the eyes of Allah that you say something that you are not practicing yourself. So here Habib al-Najjar is establishing these criteria. Okay, why shouldn't we follow the messengers? First of all, they're not asking for anything in return. Number two, they are the guided ones. They are on the right path. Then he says, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. The other two things, why should I not? Look at the style. Huh? The style is very important here. Because he does not now condescend on the people and say, you should be believing. Why shouldn't you believe? No, he is not talking about them. He is asking them to consider and talking about himself. وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Why should I not be worshipping he who has created me? وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And it is to he we shall all return to. See, the style is a very important style. Okay, the style does not sound condescending or patronizing. Okay, this person has come, another person like the messenger. He's talking about us, he doesn't want to talk about himself. And this is a very important point when it comes to tabligh. When it comes to when you want to tell somebody or convey to somebody what is right, what is wrong, don't pick on him because he has done wrong and tell him, okay, you shouldn't be doing this. First of all, look at the style, asking questions. Wama liya, and why should I not? It's not making a statement. Because making a statement is considered presumptuous. Number two, he is bringing attention to himself. Why should I not be worshipping my Lord? Wama liya la a'budu alladhi فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ And to him you shall all return. أَتَّخِذُ Again a question. And then, first person singular. أَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً Should I take other gods than him? Gods other than him, that is than Allah. إِن يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَانُ بِذُرٍ لَا تُغْنِ عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ Their shafa'at. Now again, shafa'at is their intercession here. But by the word shafa'at means that system in which they believe in gods. Would their gods be able to do anything to stop what Allah has decided to happen? Whether it is by seeking prayers, whether it is by physical intervention. He says, should I be worshipping somebody who, if he wants something ill to happen to me, these gods will not be able to even physically intervene to do anything. Yunqithun, they won't be able to save me. Inni idhan, now based on these four or five points that I have just listed down, if I still continue, idhan means if I still continue to do what you guys are doing. إِنِّي إِذًا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Very clearly, I am misguided. Because I have this logical evidence why I have chosen to follow these messengers.
On verse 22 it says, Why should I not worship him who brought me into being, but unto whom you shall be brought back? Is there significance for the you?
Nay, I وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ I understand the you is, it goes back to them, ne? Shifting.
Not even we.
Huh?
It doesn't even say we shall be brought back. It says you.
The only thing I can think of right now, I mean this is just top of my head, which I don't really agree with, it may not be right. So I don't want to say it. Let me find out. Let me dig some more and see. But I know there has been no mention of this here. Any questions? No questions. Right. Let us just finish this. It's not very long to go. Inni amantu bi rabbikum fasma'un. Now here, Habib al-Najjar is telling them, I have brought iman on your Lord bi rabbikum. Is he talking now to the three messengers who are standing there, or is he talking to these people who are not ready to believe in the messengers? That is not very clear according to the verse, is it? Because the verses are talking about, first of all, he is addressing his own people, telling them that this is why you should believe, why shouldn't I believe, and then he says, I have brought faith in your Lord. Now, is he referring to people who don't believe in Allah, or is he referring to the three messengers? There are both narrations, I mean both kind of tafsir. Some Mufassirin say that he turned to the messengers and said that I have brought iman in your Lord, so listen to me as bear witness to my testimony that I am bringing faith, I have brought faith. This is one opinion. Another opinion, it's saying that he continues his address to the people by calling his Allah, his Lord as your Lord, because it is their Lord in any case, whether they like it or not. Fasma'un, that means listen to me, as in imploring them, pleading with them, listen to me. Right? In that style, it says that he could be addressing his own people.
They didn't believe in Allah.
They knew there was a power that was giving them, and in their quest, or rather search for this power, they used to worship different gods. You see, they were idol worshippers. They were mushrikeen.
Isn't that the same as the people of Makkah? And when you ask them, they would say, yes, we believe in Allah.
Of course, I mean, la yaqulun Allah, I mean, the verses are there. So that is still shirk. Right? It doesn't absolve them of tawheed. No, it doesn't. So that was the kind of people that we are talking about. Now, at this stage, the Quran does not mention what happens next. That after this Habib al-Najjar's speech, saying that this is what you should be doing, and this is how you should be doing it, this is why you should be doing it. After that, the Quran does not mention what happens next. What the Quran jumps to is after Habib's death. And so the Quran does not mention how Habib was killed. This is where, according to history, tafsir says that some explanations that Habib al-Najjar was stoned, and some explanations that Habib was stamped to death. But in any case, he was killed, because that fact is obvious from this conversation that is taking place between Allah and Habib now. And that could only have taken place after Habib's death. Now here, there's a very interesting question. قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. He was told to enter paradise. Now which paradise is this we're talking about? When the day of judgment has not come yet. Because paradise is Jannah, and Jannah is on the day of judgment. And how could Habib be told that enter paradise when the day of judgment has not arrived yet?
Shaheed, they're ungrateful, they go straight to Jannah.
That's true, there is no day of judgment for them as well, they're straight already in Jannah. Ahsan, the shaheed, the matter is that the Quran talks about is وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. That means they are not dead yet, they are alive. They are receiving sustenance the way we receive it in this world, right? So, this person in that, you know, category was not dead, was alive, being a martyr. But he was told idkhul al-jannah, and this, according to all mufassirin that I read, you know, they say that this jannah is jannah of barzakh, where you have the hadith. You remember when we were doing barzakh, we said al-qabru imma jannatun min imma rawdatun min riyad al-jannah aw hufratun min hufar an-nar. Right? So we are talking of that barzakh, alam barzakh, which is the transition world. Right? And there is Jannah and there is Jahannam. There is punishment and there is reward for that transition period based on certain deeds that we do. I mean, if you remember, we were doing about that and when we talked about Barzakh. So this is another clear evidence that there is a Jannah in that Barzakh stage where people will be taken there straight. And then what will happen there is where Habib says, when he was told, قِيلَ دْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمْ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. How I wish my people knew of what Allah has forgiven me of my sins. That means there are sins to be forgiven. That means even a martyr entering that Jannah, that paradise of the Barzakh stage, will go through the stage of cleansing of sins. Allah will forgive him his sins and then take him to Mukramun. Mukramun means endowed with generosity, where Allah is generous, Kareem. Right? The more interesting thing here is socially that this person, a true mu'min, is a person who is concerned. He is so much concerned about his people that whilst he was alive, he urged and implored them, please believe in this message that these messengers have brought. And when he died, he prayed to Allah, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. How I wish my people knew. That is the strength of a believer. That is the true love of a believer for the message, and that people should follow the true message. That is to that level. Peygamber has a hadith that Habib al-Najjar was so powerful a believer that he loved good for his people, not only in his lifetime but even after he died, when he said, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamuna bima ghafara li rabbi. We're running short of time, and I'm surprised there are no questions or...
Plenty of time.
No. 9:32 na time, Jibai. Right.
I have a question.
Questions. Jibai.
What is the best English word for self-defeat?
Well, it is normally translated as truthful, but... I don't know, Malim, if you agree with the translation.
I'm not happy with the word truthful
here. I think so, because truthful is more sadiq than siddiq. Right? Siddiq is... I don't know if there is an English equivalent. I have not come across any words. Because wherever I come, I see truthful. Right? And truthful itself doesn't do justice to the word siddiq. Because there is sadiq and then there is siddiq.
Well, a higher form of sadiq.
Absolutely, a superlative form, sort of. You know that... Because sadiq means I can be truthful in what I say. Siddiq means it would be applied to every aspect of my life.
Yes.
Perfect truth, you know, that kind of thing.
Speak the
truth. Truth to oneself.
So, I haven't come across anybody English word, ma?
They're probably words, but I don't think they'll convey.
Put not one word, but a phrase, or, you know...
We will leave the last bit, which is talking about the punishment on the people. Right? We'll stop here. That this is how it ends. Habib al-Najjar, when he was promised, or when he was told to enter the paradise of Barzakh, he said, how I wish my people knew. Right? And we will continue with that next time, inshallah. وَصَلِ اللَّهُمَّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطَّاهِرِينَ